may be helped commence our worship of God this evening by singing hymn 711 to the tune Eshtayol 332. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray. Let me taste thy special grace and run to Christ my hiding place. Oh, how unstable is my heart. Sometimes I take the tempter's part and slight the tokens of thy grace, and seem to want no hiding place. Lord Jesus, shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan, and as a sinner plead for grace, through Christ the sinner's hiding place. Hymn 711.
Oh,
Together from the most holy word of God, two portions, firstly Psalm 61, then Isaiah chapter 32. Firstly, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. And Isaiah chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest,
as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the house of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, and the forts and the towers shall be for dens for ever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and the righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us a reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind, gracious, eternal, ever merciful Lord God, thou hast in mercy spared our lives to gather again in thy courts this night. Thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve, and truly in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We're still upon praying ground, and the day of grace has not ended. And oh, may it please thee then again this night, that maybe those come into thy courts with a living desire, Ah, that is our after thee, and after thy righteousness. Oh, that living desire, like those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus, desiring to see none other save Jesus only. Ah, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Ah, they desire to know thee, they long for Christ to be revealed. He has become all their desire. Become all their desire. Thou hast wrought it. cannot some of us look back to that time when it was so? And that time when it was not so. We were content with just outward forms, content with the customs and following those dead rounds of empty service. But, O Lord, we trust now thou hast bored some of our ears to the doorpost, and there is that desire to go up to the house of God to hear what the Lord might speak. And if there are those yet dead and unconcerned, oh, do yet work mightily in their hearts that good thing. Take out that heart of stone and give the heart of flesh and those new and living desires. Oh, those new and living desires, whereby they're brought to feel how wretched and poor and sinful they are by nature. And that those sins that have been revealed to them deserve an eternal death. And they've been brought to tremble under the word. But as they've been brought to tremble under the word, verily believe that if thou dost bring one there, thou wilt lead them yet further on. Thou wilt lead them to thyself and reveal thyself to them. And so, Lord, we plead, take us each in hand. Oh, work might in our hearts that good thing. And if we're resting upon anything short of Christ, oh, shall we not find in that day a bed too short to lay upon? Oh, anything short of thee. Ah, Christ, the hope of glory it must be, Christ alone. And so, Lord, we plead, may that be all our desire. And yet, as we pleaded this morning, I believe, we plead it again now. And thou knowest, those that thou hast wrought in their hearts a good thing, that desire after thee. And yet, it seems they wait. They wait. Often, it's as upon our thoughts in this way, for it was in our own pathway those years ago. We felt like that one at Bethesda's pool. We saw many, heard of many, that received the blessing. They seemed to go on their way rejoicing. We seemed to be left in that low place, in that desperate place. And it seemed, no hope should come. We're outside of the secret. Oh, if there are such, Lord, we plead, grant them a little token of thy love this day, this night. Encourage them to wait on. Oh, wait on for that appointed time, that appointed hour, when thou wilt work mightily in their hearts, that whereby they are. Will it not be like Lazarus of old? When thou didst call him forth from the tomb, he came bound, did he not? With those grave clothes of sin and death. But thou didst not leave him there. Blessed be thy holy name. Neither wilt thou leave a poor sinner thou hast quickened in that place where they're still bound. That time appointed will come when thou wilt say, loose him, loose her, that command. Loose him, loose her, and let them go. Oh, may it please thee. Hasten that time. Oh, hasten that time, Lord. We know thou hast a set time, and thou art sovereign in all thy ways and all thy dealings. And there are those appointed times, but dost thy word not say, oh, yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. We would then plead that promise. Do it for them, Lord, we plead. Bring them into the sweet liberty of the gospel, that they may yet be able to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. O Lord, do work mighty then, we plead, in the midst of the people here and elsewhere. May it please it, thy blessing might rest upon the labours of thy servants in the former part of the day here and elsewhere, that thy word might have gone forth with power, in the power of the Spirit, and there was a losing sight of the man, and they saw and heard thy voice, saw thee, and they heard thy voice, the voice of their beloved, that one whom their soul desires. Oh, may it please thee then, bless that which has taken place already this day. Oh, may it have gone forth then in the power of the Spirit. And may it please thee, that word that thou hast commanded. Thou hast commanded thy servants to go forth with, they might truly be according to thy word. It shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. And so, Lord, we plead then, favour Zion, bless Zion, and thy servants have gone forth to labour again this night. Oh, may it please thee, all thy servants, Lord, grant them that strength sufficient, lift them above the weariness of mind and body. For, O Lord, we are poor mortal creatures, but oh, when we think upon Christ, in his humanity, he knew, didst thou not, thou knew, didst know what tiredness was, the weariness of the body, when thou didst sit upon that well. What a mercy then. Strengthen us with that strength, that strength from on high. Strengthen each of thy servants this night, Lord, with that strength which only thou canst give. And Lord, we plead then also for the hearers. Thou knowest how soon weariness and tiredness can overtake us in a moment. Oh, lift us above our poor weak bodies, we plead, and set our hearts and minds upon those things which are heavenly, which are eternal. And so, Lord, do satisfy us, we plead, with thy goodness, each of thy waiting people here and elsewhere. May it please thee this night, it might be that portion for seven and a portion for eight. And Lord, thy servants, what a mercy we read in thy word, that portion where it says, muzzle not the ox when he treadeth out the corn. And so, Lord, we plead then, and oneself we long for it. We've known it in time past. We felt we trust we knew a little this morning. Ah, a little of that bread of life, that which lifts up the weak hands and confirms the feeble knees. And so, Lord, satisfy each, we plead, and put the new song in the mouth. Lord, how often it is like this, we hang our harp upon the willows. In those times of trouble, we hang our harp upon the willows, and we wonder how we shall ever take it down. But, O Lord, when thou dost put the new song in the mouth, that song of praise, truly it is that song of praise unto thee. Is it not like the psalmist? We can come there with the psalmist in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, that wonderful, beautiful psalm. Oh, that psalm of praise. For those things providential, providence and grace for time and for eternity. Oh, may it please you then. Do us each good. Ah, do us each good. Lord, may there be a gathering from a few ears that may be found amongst the sheaves. May it please thee, oh, if it could be thy will, let fall those hands full of purpose and those Ruths. Ah, oh, Lord, thou knowest each one that's a Ruth, those that thou hast wrought in, wrought upon, and they desire to lay hold upon thee. They desire to be united to their heavenly Boaz. Oh, may it please thee then. Ah, even this night there might be that, let fall those hands full of purpose, and there'll be no hindrance in the gathering up, and that taken home in due time and beaten out, prayed over, meditated upon, and he gives them that encouragement that, that time will yet come when thou wilt favour Zion, when thou wilt bring that one into the banqueting house, where thy banner over them is love. So, Lord, we plead then, remember Zion and all the trembling Ruths, the worm Jacobs. Lord, thou knowest where they are. And so, Lord, we plead. remember Zion, and we plead then for Zion in this dark and evil day. Ministered and brought low. Ministered and brought low. But we rejoice in the promise. Yes, there are many assaults, are there not? There are many assaults against the true church and thy people. But the promise, blessed be thy holy name. Thou hast said concerning Zion, thou wilt abundantly, abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. Oh, abundantly. And so, Lord, we plead and we thank thee for it. The word of thy grace, the work of the Spirit, and thy word, yes, have we not known it? Enter into our heart with power. Enter into our heart with power. And it has been meat and drink unto us. And we've had to go in the strength of thy word and thy promises at times many days. But Lord, fresh troubles, fresh trials come. And oh Lord, there is a need again, is there not? But thou wilt abundantly, oh, favour Zion, bless thy, abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. And so Lord, we plead, remember thy church and thy people. And if it could please in this dark and evil day, revive thy work. Revive thy work in this nation, in our own hearts, in our churches. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. But we need that reviving personally in the churches and in the nation. And so, Lord, may it please thee. Stir us up to cry more earnestly, that thou wouldst yet work mighty in the midst of the people, both in the churches and amongst the people of the nation. Lord, awaken many sinners round. Oh, if it could please thee, those whom thou hast loved from all eternity, those whom thou hast named with the surname of Israel, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. Oh, on the little hills of Zion, there might be yet in our day a strengthening of those things which remain, of those things which are ready to die, but also a reviving, a building up. But Lord, we know we live in evil days. And so, Lord, we plead then for thy divine protection. What a mercy that we have found sheltering under the shadow of the Almighty as we see our violent men are abroad in the nation and the nations of the earth. Oh, Lord, we would then fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Oh, be that a hiding place unto us. Lord, the hiding place, that fortress, that high rock, that strong tower. Lord, may we each prove it are thee to be so. That rock, that hiding place, that strong tower, that cleft of the rock. And all the storms and troubles of life, that cleft of the rock. So, Lord, we plead then, in this nation, Lord, work mighty in the midst of the people. Break hearts, Lord, we plead. Take out the heart of stone and give the heart of flesh those new and living desires. But Lord, remember us also. We will pray for those that have the rule over us. They have the affairs of state to deal with. The complexities of government and all that that is there. Lord, guide them. May they seek guidance of thee. But O Lord, guide them in their thoughts. Lord, what a mercy. All men's hearts are in thy hands. And even those that would seek, if they could, to bring wicked devices to pass, they were able to change their hearts. They were able to alter them in their thoughts, alter their thoughts. And so, Lord, we plead, take in hand those that have the government of this country. It rests upon their shoulders, and show them what they ought to do. Oh, show them what they ought to do. We think also of the Queen and the royal family. Lord, thou hast spared them these many, many years, and we thank thee for it. But, oh Lord, may the Queen and her consort be even brought as this, that they may know themselves be those beggars poor. At mercy's door, yes, they may have everything at their command, everything that they desire at their command. But all to know that they're a beggar poor, a sinner indeed, a sinner in need. To be brought to feel that their wounds and bruises and putrefying sores by nature, their very birth, conceived in sin and shape and iniquity. Oh Lord, work mighty in their hearts, we plead, that it might be that which is more than notion, something known and felt. So Lord, we plead then, for those that have the rule over us, we are exhorted to pray for them. But Lord, we thank thee that we have the freedom still to gather, even this night, to gather in thy courts without the fear of man or authority. We have thy precious word in its entirety before us. We know there are some that would like to remove this part and that part. It goes against their carnal desires. It is offensive to them. But, O Lord, we thank thee we have it in its entirety. And, O Lord, maintain unto us this privilege, if it could please thee, to keep the adversary at bay. And, Lord, as we gather then this night, in us to praise thee more, for we have many mercies still. Many mercies, both to us as a nation, and as churches and people, but also in individual paths. Oh, how often we find we soon become, as it were, we take these things for granted. Take these things for granted. But, oh Lord, we've tried to plead this morning. It came to our mind in this way. Oh, we have our warm beds. We're granted a comfortable night. And we rise in the morning, and we go down, and we find a cupboard with plenty there, a choice. And, O Lord, we have our the vehicles to drive to thy house. We have the comfort of the house of God, those comforts which our godly forefathers never knew of. But, may we hold these things with a loose hand, but ever acknowledge that they all come from thee. Thou art the supplier of every good and every favour. Lord, we know that man, even wicked men, the vilest and the most wicked of men, also partake of those things. For the sun shines upon the wicked and the righteous. But the wicked, he does not acknowledge God. He thinks he has a right to it. And he thinks it is man's ingenuity and his ability that gets him this and gets him that. But Lord, we acknowledge thou hast given. Thou hast given. And so, Lord, we plead then this night that we might not let any of thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. That song of praise. It's due unto thee, is it not? That song of praise, Lord, we thank thee then for all our favours and mercies and blessings. For truly we have to say we do not deserve them. We do not deserve them. But truly in wrath thou dost remember mercy and hast remembered mercy. And thou hast maintained us each in the pathway of life unto this day, this moment of time. Lord, we would not be unmindful of our dear pastor where he is this night, labouring in thy name, and one that goes forth from us here. And each of thy sons we speak, plead especially for our dear pastor and our dear friend and brother that's gone forth also. Lord, do remember them, and our dear pastor in his affliction, may it please thee, keep those symptoms at bay this day. And even as he journeys home, Lord, remember him and his dear one. Bring them home in peace and safety, we plead. Oh, bring them home in peace and safety. And Lord, grant their loved ones, and especially one with her family, they have to wait many hours. Oh, Lord, draw near and comfort her. Comfort each of thy servants' wives when they have to wait those many hours, but especially when they've got young families and all the duties and cares that go with it. Lord, strengthen them each and help them each. But we would also pray for the afflicted. Many afflicted in Zion. We think, one, that little babe. We've not heard any more in recent days, but Lord, we think of that little one there. Oh, if it could please thee, yet put forth thy healing hand, if it could be thy will. Remember the parents. Strengthen them also, but each one with families, and especially if they got afflicted children. Lord, we've known it ourselves when we've looked upon our own children when in those times of sickness, and we find that our bowels are moved for them. And even this poor one those years ago now, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, it was a comfort unto this one those years ago. But Lord, remember parents as they look upon their children and they have those cares for them, especially when they're in sickness or there's that has to be done. Perhaps they have to enter into a hospital and take them there. Lord, remember them. But also those in the midst of life, Lord, we plead for them. When those infirmities and afflictions that has caused them to come. Lord, may they prove this amongst us all things that work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his eternal purpose. Lord, thou knowest how by nature we hate afflictions, we hate trials. But may it please you, that which is bitter to the flesh may yet prove to be sweet to the soul. Lord, sometimes we can look back and we've had to say it was good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And through those afflictions, we've learned thy statutes. We've learned more of our wretched self and more of a precious Christ has been revealed. Those times when the clouds appear and darkness comes and we fear the storms. But Lord, what a mercy when we see in the storm the brightness of that bow of that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that even in those storms, And is it not so in the darkest trials and storms that the bow shines the brightest? Ah, that bow in the clouds, it reminds us, does it not, of that one that, whose love changes not, whose love changeth not. It reminds us of that one that's done all things well in the sinner's room, place and stead. It reminds us, does it not, of that one, that is able to hold up and hold on each poor, tried, trembling worm, those lambs in Christ's fold, or holds them up and holds them on in the way, gives them that strength sufficient for the day. When they feel they're ready to faint and die in the wilderness, oh, dost thou not speak the word only? We proved it, have we not, some of us? The word, speak the word only, and thou hast spoken the word. And oh, we've had to rejoice even in a time of affliction. And especially when we're made, brought into that place of sympathy, in our poor measure, in that very small measure, into sympathy with Christ and his sufferings. When we're brought into that place where we meditate upon what Christ suffered in our room, place and stead, those sufferings which were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. Then that sweet moment, oh, we've known it, that sweet moment can subdue the pain and all the thoughts. And we rejoice even in affliction. So, Lord, we plead for the afflicted ones and those also in the even time of life. Yes, perhaps afflictions abound and they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Lord, may they prove the everlasting arms, those arms of the God of Jeshurun who rideth on the heaven in thy help. And may they prove, even as the psalmist, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. O Lord, do then remember each we plead. Any with a particular trial, a particular trouble, oh, hold them up and hold them on. May they prove in the midst of it all, that there is that one that knows the way they take, has appointed it to come. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And once again, do remember our dear young friends. Yes, from the babes to those going on into life. Work mighty in their hearts that good thing, thy tender fear. Keep them close to thee. Keep them from the distractions and attractions of the world. Many there are. There are many, other not. And we find, do we not, our old nature loves them. We know that our old nature will never change. But oh, certainly in our younger years, in our childhood and youth and young manhood, Lord, it seemed the adversary did his best, we can put it that way, to try and draw us away from thy courts. Draw us aside. And how those temptations, Lord, we can look back now and say, kept by the almighty power. Lord, and some as we can look back to that time when such was a temptation. We were near to slipping. Our feet were beginning to go down into that miry clay. We felt powerless. But oh, thou didst, by thy almighty power, draw us out of that place. Draw us out of that place, and we can only say it was by thy almighty power. It was not in this man. This man was powerless, and we felt we were sinking, and we would sink. Bring shame and reproach upon thy people. Bring shame and reproach upon thy people. For there were many that were watching upon us and looking upon us. And no doubt, and all we felt it was so. They were ready to laugh. They were ready, getting ready to laugh and point the finger. But all kept by the almighty power. So, Lord, keep them, we plead. Keep us each. Lord, whatever our age, we read in thy word. Some, when they're in their latter years, how they sinned grievously. They fell under Satan's temptations. Ah, oh, they sinned grievously. Oh, Lord, whatever our age then, hold us each up. Hold us each up. And even as we stand up in thy name, ah, oh, we have to come even in that personal way. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. So hold us each up. Keep us close to thee. Keep us tender of heart and mind and conscience. And Lord, especially as we have to be in the world, oh, keep us from being of it. So, Lord, we plead now for thy help. Make one in our midst. Oh, make one in our midst. For what is the house of God to me, unless the Master, there I see. Oh, may we see a precious Christ. Oh, may we see that one, that hiding place. Oh, may we be encouraged to flee to that hiding place. We plead then for the pardon of every sin and all we've asked of this. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, our pastor will preach here on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day, and today we take our monthly collection. May we now be held to continue by singing hymn 183 to the tune of Waitlands 771. By covenant, transaction, and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine. Their sin-bearing victim I stood. Yea, for them my life did resign. The curse of the law I sustained, did them from all cursings set free. That when by stern justice arraigned, the sinner should look unto me. By crosses are scourged and for sin, nor flowing from wrath, but in love. Yet while they the furnace are in, the strength of my grace they shall prove. And when at my footstool at last, they come with the suppliant me, their sorrowful eyes they shall cast, and look for salvation in me. We will commence singing at the second verse, 183.
Amen.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Isaiah chapter 32 and read verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The next verse goes on to say, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. We tried to speak this morning from that verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, as I left here this morning, my mind went to this verse and a man. And so those fear thou not, are they not those promises which are yea, and amen in Christ Jesus? They are Yes, they are obtained, are they not, for the church, for his chosen people. There through that covenant signed and sealed, if we can put it in that way reverently, in his precious blood. That covenant ordered in all things and sure. And it is through that one then, a precious Christ. A precious Christ that has now accomplished all in the sinner's room, place and stead. And is ascended on high and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, that intercedes for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered, but waits to be gracious. Waits to be gracious, and at the voice of thy cry will answer thee. But that one then that knows a path, for he hath ordained it for each and every one of his people. It's an ordained path, a chosen path, a path that doesn't have anything haphazard in it. Doesn't have anything haphazard in it, although we, by our carnal reasoning, think things are haphazard. And men talk of fortune, luck and chance, the chance of this or the chance of that. But everything to the Lord's people, it is ordained. It's ordained. And it was ordained in eternity past. And there we read, and what a comfort it is, we read even as of Job. That ordained path for him. And what a path it was. It wasn't, I fairly believe that none of us would want the path that Job walked if we look at things like that with natural reasoning. What a path it was. Almighty God permitted Satan to touch him, not only in his family, in his possessions, but in his own body also. Caused all those things to come upon him. But his life was hid with Christ in God. And if we're amongst the Lord's people, as we said this morning, those worm Jacobs, so your life and mine will also be here with Christ in God. And nothing, as we said just now, happens by chance, it's ordained. And the Lord has purposed it to come for a reason, and one of those reasons I feel in my own path, is to keep us in that right place. Keep us in that right place, low at his feet. It's a solemn thing, is it not? But it's a truth. When our path goes smoothly, when it seems that we're sailing along with no trials, it is a smooth voyage, then we soon become lukewarm, cold, complacent. Our prayer becomes formal, even to the point at times we think, if only could just leave that aside for the moment, carry on with what we're doing. It seems, as it were, a burden to our natural being. It seems to get in the way. I know I can't speak for any others, but that's how it is with oneself. Prayer becomes formal, even to the point where we, if we could give it a miss, we would. But the Lord will not have it to be so. And he will burden his people and bring them into those trials and places whereby they will know at times where they feel to be overwhelmed. My heart is overwhelmed. Job, his path, no doubt he felt overwhelmed. He felt of, when he's brought into such a place, darkness. He couldn't perceive the Lord on his right hand or his left, behind or before. But the mercy for Job was that Almighty God, as that restraint put by Almighty God upon Satan, that he's only permitted to go so far. That trial of his faith, and that trial of your faith and mine, yet at times it feels like we're overwhelmed. We feel like we're overwhelmed, and we shall sink to rise no more. The language of the psalmist, do you find at times it comes right where you are? Comes right where you are, touches the very spot, and it comes right with your own, and your exercise and the feelings of your soul. And the Lord permits this or that to suddenly bring about, it seems that everything is overturned, turned upside down, brought to stop in a moment. Crosses and crooks in the lot. Those cross providences, those of old often spoke of them. Yes, perhaps in our day, there's much that, as it were, if we can put it rightly, cushions us from this trouble and that trouble. There's much assistance in our day, is there not? But nevertheless, even with all this, the Lord will deal with his people in that way which, is it not this, that we might be brought unto that desired haven, brought in time to that desired haven. And yet, as we said a little earlier, I believe it was upon my thoughts, but by nature, we're bound to the things of the earth. We're bound to those things which our carnal nature desires and takes pleasure in, even those things which are lawful. But our old nature can be bound up in it, and we worship it. They can become our gods. Become our gods. Yes, we can make a god of many things. Such is our old nature of the earth, earthy. But he will not have that. And there with that trial from time to time of your faith and mine, to see what sort it is, whether it is real faith or not. And like it was then with Job, it was that real faith. For even in that dark place, yes, when we said just now, he couldn't perceive his God upon his right hand or his left, behind or before. But there he could say, but he knoweth. Poor, trembling, tried one, he knoweth also. He knoweth your path, has appointed it to come. And as Job then, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But all, it was outwrought in him. I believe we can gain much from reading the book of Job. Yes, it was much that Job was wrong. But for he had by nature, even as we have, that same old spirit. That old man of sin. Yes, he had carnal reasoning also. But he had his God, a God that loved him from all eternity, chosen him in eternity past, and was there yet that are yet to perform that for him whereby he could, it could be said of him, his latter end was better than his beginning. And so as a psalmist there, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer from the end, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. As he said, it brings us that back to that place whereby we can say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And who do I desire upon earth beside thee, O God? Brings us to that place where we find we're dependent upon him. And it will be as we read in the Song of Solomon, I often think of that word there, but it must be so. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning? Not leaning upon yourself, not leaning upon your wisdom, your own might, and the strength of your own arms, but leaning on whom? That one whom your soul loves. Yes, bring us back to that place that we might be found there, coming up out of the wilderness. Yes, in time it must be so. If it were not so, that the end would be solemn indeed. But who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? But from the end of the earth. And so it is from time to time we feel to be at the end of the earth. The end of the earth. Now I often refer to that Psalm 107, but my soul rejoices in that psalm. Traces out the pathway of a child of God. Yes, from the very quickening. That one, found in a wayfaring wilderness. That one, walking a lonely path, is that path appointed. But how, that one also, as times of wit end. But we have in that psalm, and I find that verse there, and it's approving of it, and you'll have to prove it, and I'll have to prove it. Where we read in that psalm, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And so it is through trials and tribulations and distress and perplexities, afflictions, dark places, things hard to be understood, when the Lord causes the stormy wind, raises it up, commands it. That psalm records it thus, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. So it is those waves, the storms and the trials of life, that are, we reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Wit end. But all there we read now constantly through that psalm, then they cried. Well, if that psalm, I know perhaps there's not quite the right way of putting it, but if that psalm spake of all nothing but a smooth path, there were no hungerings and thirstings, no times when sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, if there were no times when We're brought into that place where our soul, because of our transgressions and of our iniquities, and we're brought with a thou art the man or thou art the woman, whereby we then find the adversary pointing the finger, becoming the accuser of the brethren, and perhaps we feel the tremblings under the law again. Where their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Ah, if it were not for the stormy winds, commanding the stormy winds, where we see, yes, because we have to do business in deep, in great waters, will we ever cry unto the Lord? Would there ever be those same parts, those lines, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble? It wouldn't be so, would it? And we find, and we have to testify, that when it's so in our path, a smooth for a while, things go on seemingly smoothly without troubles. Our prayers, we say, can't speak for any others, but I feel in my own heart, prayer becomes, as it were, almost a burden in a way. But then, it's necessity then, is it not? Prayer of necessity. And it's in those prayers of necessity, when it's brought upon, yes, the Spirit gives them that new sharp threshing instrument as we spoke this morning, having teeth. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. They cry unto the Lord in their troubles. It's then, the poor trembling worm Jacob, you'll prove this one that be a hiding place. As we said, without troubles we wouldn't want a hiding place. We don't have a need of a hiding place. But we prove then that one that is a hiding place, that cleft of the rock, the man Christ Jesus. We prove that one when we are brought to the footstool of mercy, and we plead for Jesus' sake there. We plead that finished work. We plead the satisfied law. We plead his precious blood. We plead his name is above every name. And the poor sinner then has to venture his all upon Christ. For he's brought to see again that there's no hope in himself and no help either. This hiding place. You long then for that cleft of the rock. That riven side. You long then once again to see that precious blood. For it's in those dark places, tried places. You feel more of how wretched and poor and undone you are. You feel more and more how in need of his mercy you are. It brings you to that hiding place. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. My mind also went to one verse we read in Corinthians. It's then, do we not, Corinthians, I turned to it in the vestry just now. Well, I turned to it finally as I got into the pulpit here. But what would we read in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians in the second book and chapter 4? Is it then in these times when we're troubled and tried, we find we have a little treasure in earth and vessel which is not of the man, but the sufficiency of his grace, that which is not of the man, that which is of the man will fail you in time. But you'll find this, even as the apostle, we have this treasure that of his grace, the blessed Spirit working within you. Oh, that well of water springing up into eternal life in the midst of your troubles and trials, when it causes you, breathes upon your dry bones, raises that glowing ember. Well, perhaps it's even quenched almost to a point where it's extinct, but not quite. As we say, when paths go smoothly, when we don't have afflictions and trials, things get very low, do they not? But the Spirit then breathes upon your dry bones. So he said this morning, gives you that new sharp threshing instrument, and this is proving this. We have treasure. This treasure which is not of ourselves, it is that gift of God. It is that which is of his grace, that sovereign grace, and that which is imparted and given to each worm Jacob. When they're brought to those places where they feel themselves be worm Jacobs. In those places like even as Job, often speak, do they not, of Job's ditch. We have this treasure. And that's where we prove it then. Trials, afflictions, difficulties. This treasure we have in our earthen vessel. That poor, sinful, earthen vessel that in of itself has no good thing. We have no good thing in of ourselves. But it's by the Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves, not of us. Well, we read further on, do we not, as the verses go on, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But oh, we are troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Yes, it seems so at times, is it not? Trouble. I believe he said this morning, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the word also declares through much tribulation, ye shall enter the kingdom. But unto the child of God, we are troubled on every side. It may be so and it is so. Yet not distressed. Not distressed. Why? Because the Spirit working within you, breathing upon you, bring you to that place, low at his feet. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. Cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And then grant them those answers of peace. Those answers of peace. When, the Spirit seals such truths that we took for our text this morning. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Try to speak this morning that eternal God which is thy refuge, the God of Jeshurun who rideth on the heaven in thy help and his excellency on the sky, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Fear thou not then, for I am with thee. It's then the Spirit opens these truths up to your heart. Makes them precious. And then you prove Christ is precious. Christ is precious indeed. Is in these times. As we said, I believe I said this morning, but in those times of trial, we prove Christ is precious more than we do in those times when things go on smoothly, without difficulty. But fear thou not. That's the proving of it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. That treasure in your earthen vessel, poor sinner, I will strengthen thee. Yea, What a mercy it goes on. Yea, yes, not only that, I'll strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will help thee, that poor trembling one, unable to move, brought into a low place, fearing and trembling, what ifs and what maybes. I will help thee. That man then that is a hiding place, a covert from the wind, a covert from the tempest, those tempests and storms of life, then this man by whom these things are, brought by Christ, obtained for his church. And as we said, they're yea and amen. These promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I will help thee. You'll speak the word and I'll draw near when you feel at times, I'm ready to faint and die in the way. How can I go on? All my little strength is gone. All my little strength is gone. But I trust I prove from time to time. It comes to my mind again now when the Lord spoke this word into my soul. If I can, I have the feeling I know where it is. Over a year ago, but I need it again, we need it again and again, whether proving this, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. We read of it in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, but all we read there in those verses 3 and 4, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Doesn't say just some of those tribulations, but all our tribulation. Comforted all our tribulation. The word declares, and did not Christ declare it, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. A blessing indeed, a soul-supporting truth, I will come to you, meet you in the pathway, come right where you are. He condescends the men of low estate, condescends those poor worm Jacobs. I will come to you, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand of my righteousness. A man, this man Christ Jesus. The eternal God is thy refuge. That one verily God, verily man. I know my mind also went to one concerning Peter, but the time I see is nearly gone. My mind went to it before we left home, and I looked it up, and I feel I must just speak from it also. It concerns dear Peter. That little portion in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, where we read there, from verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. That path ordained. The Lord has caused you to walk in it. It is that path appointed. They were commanded of God. Jesus commanded them to get into the ship. Go before him unto the other side. And he sent the multitude away. And oh, what we read, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Oh, you look at that prayer of Christ concerning his disciples in John's Gospel. Prayer for his people. Oh, what a favor it is to have that on record also. You turn to it at your leisure. He went up into a mountain to pray, apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And what we read, it was not in the early part of the night, but oh, they were tossed for a little while, were they not? Because it was in the fourth part of the night. The fourth watch of the night. That trial of the faith, as we said, concerning Job, there's that darkness for a while, and he had to endure it. But he's given grace and strength by the Spirit to endure it. He knoweth the way that I take. That was our grace of God sustaining him in it. And so, these disciples, it was but until the fourth part of the night, the fourth watch of the night. We read that Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Oh, what poor creatures we are. Cannot always perceive the Lord near. Our unbelieving hearts obscure our sight, do they not? When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Cried out for fear. So these things are left on record for us, for our help, our comfort, whereby the Spirit enables us to go on. But oh, they cried out for fear. But what do we read? What we read, but straightway Jesus spake unto them. Jesus spake unto them straightway. That man, that refuge, that hiding place, the hiding place from the wind and the covert from the tempest, and the rivers of water and a dry place, they were yet to prove it, but in that fourth watch of the night. And perhaps it seemed no hope should come, but there, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And still that measure of unbelief, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That I have faith, saw that one, and that hiding place, that place of safety, that cleft of the rock. But oh, how in a moment is it not so with us also? How in a moment. And it must have been just a moment he saw. He turned his eyes aside. And perhaps there's been a little help in the past days, but now you've turned your eyes aside and it seems, the waves are boisterous. It's still a stormy path. He saw the waves were boisterous. The wind was boisterous, and he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me. Leave me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed." Yes, the Lord wasn't far from them the whole time, was he? I believe his omniscient eye was upon them. And his ear was open unto their cries. But Such is unbelief and such is our old fickle nature. We soon lose sight of Christ. Even in a moment we can lose sight of Christ. And what we find again, a trembling, perhaps even more so. But the Lord heard his cry. The Lord, I hear your cry also. Perhaps there's been a trembling again. The Lord heard his cry. Lord, save me. We read then, and immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You'll be brought to that also. You'll have to say, thou, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That rock, that place of safety, my help, my hope, my hope, my eternal hope, my help for time to bring me through the pathway of life and bring me home to glory. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And as we said then this morning, you'll prove then, from time to time, that one that is able to speak the fear not. Take away the fears. For I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Proving this man. My mind goes that the language of that hymn, and I trust I felt it some years ago. But all the language of the hymn writers in their experimental language. Know a little then of that peace. Peace by his cross as Jesus made. The church his everlasting head, o'er hell and sin as victory won. And with a shout to glory gone, when o'er thy head the billows roll, and shades of sin obscure thy soul, when thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man, thy peace shall be, in tribulation's thorny maze, or on the mount of sovereign grace, or in the fire, or through the sea, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Yea, when the eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. May we each be able to fall into his hands and say, do what seemeth thou good, only lead me forth for the right way. Yea, when the eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim, and at his footstool bow the knee, for Israel's God, thy peace shall be. Amen.
May we be held to conclude with hymn 927 to the tune Meriton 366. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. Let earth's alluring joys combine while thou art near. In vain they call, one smile, one blissful smile of thine. Thou dearest Lord, outweighs them all. Low at thy feet my soul would lie, Here safety dwells, and peace divine. Still let me live beneath thy eye, for life eternal, life is thine. Hymn 927.
Thy refuge,
Be pleased to bless that which is of thee. Ah, may it yet redound to thine honour and thy glory that thy name shall have all the praise. He knows he's to fall into thy hands, into the hands of the heavenly potter, and say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Ah, make us submissive to it. And work in our hearts that which we cannot do of ourselves. With that new sharp threshing instrument, I will give that new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Or that new life to prayer. Grant it, we plead. And then that true spirit of prayer, we might flee unto that one that is able to do for us more than we can ask or even think. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Remember us each in the pathway of life and that which is before us in the way. Cast our cares upon thee and prove that good shepherd that goes before us. So, Lord, go before us. Undertake, manage all by the way unto the end. And we would now fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. And grant, Lord, we plead, that measure of rest this night and all, perhaps that meditation, that sweet meditation upon thee, upon thy word, there might be that beating out of that which we've gathered from amongst the sheaves. There might do us good and strengthen us in the way. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.